everyone. My name is Pastor Maya Rodriguez. I want to welcome you to my weekly podcast. It is a true privilege to be able to share the good news of God's Word with you. Enjoy.
Welcome. Good morning. How are you? Come on, church. Let's give God all of the glory, all of the praise this morning. Celebrate. Come on, guys. Let's celebrate what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Welcome to church. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to church. So happy to have you here on a Sunday morning, right? So last week, we started a new series and kind of like a weird title, I would say, for a series on money. But it's such a beautiful title because it pretty much sums it up. And the title is With All of My Heart. You would think it's a Valentine's message, right? But it really is with all of my heart, because giving to God must be first something in our heart. Can I get an amen to that? And God must be first on our list. This was last week. We talked about God first. Because if God isn't first on our list, he's not on our list. There's no way that God would take second place. And that was the main point of last week, but it has to be basically the main point of our life, right? If we believe that God is second or third place, he's actually not on the list. God could not be anything other than first place. So today we continue with this sermon series, and the title of today's message is It's an Inside Job. Say, it's an inside job. Right? Have you ever seen those documentaries on like someone that went and held up a convenience store? But it was way too easy the way it was done. Only someone on the inside would know where that button was. Or because of the movements and the way that they saw that the perpetrator like moved in the convenience store, they're like, oh man, it had to be an inside job, right, you guys? Well, this is an inside job, right? And we have to allow God on the inside. Isaiah 29:13-16 says the following. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord. Woe is like, hey. It's like, whoa. No, it's like, hey, look out, right? To those that go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Like, no one can see us. The lights are turned off. I've shut the door. No one knows. Who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? Heavenly Father, we come before you so open to your word. Your word is timely in our hearts, and we ask that it would do a new thing in our hearts. We receive it as the truth in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. So here in Isaiah 29, Isaiah is prophesying against Jerusalem and all of Judea, and is actually saying, hey, you guys are going to go through really tough times, and this is the reason why. He predicts judgment on the kingdom due to their sin. Here in the middle of Isaiah's prophecy, he diagnoses the problem. Can someone diagnose the problem before I tell you? What is the problem of these people? These people were hypocrites. Oh, if you're taking notes, write that down. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. That's a really, really awful word. Like, you can call me a lot of things, but dude, you call me a hypocrite to my face, it's like you just went below the belt, right, you guys? Like, you just played dirty. It's so harsh, but so true. When the word heart is used metaphorically, it was referencing the center of someone's soul, meaning the place where you make your decisions, where all your experiences are, where your emotions are. So this is the heart. The heart is the location also of our will and our intellect. Therefore, when the Bible commands us to love something with all of our heart, it means loving with everything we have on the inside. With all of our soul means with all of our intellect, with all of our emotions, with all of our understanding. When God said their hearts are far away from me, he means that they have chosen something before God, that they have strayed away, that they have valued other things above and beside God. They're like, Lord, you don't even make the list. You don't even make the cut. Like, I need to work on this on my own, right? So they're playing the part, but yet have moved God to the side. Well, they might have used all the right words, quoted scripture, because these are the religious people in the Bible that he's talking to. They wore the religious garments, engaged in all the religious ceremonies, but their hearts were far away from God because their thoughts and their decisions were completely apart from God. See, they stood in the streets and they prayed so everyone can see them. But it was prayer just for that. It was prayer to be heard by others. It was prayer to be admired by others. Yet they wouldn't go into their secret place and let God look on the inside. Because see, their thoughts and their decisions, they were bent fully away from God. For example, the Pharisees pretended to care about God's law, right? And so they were like, oh my gosh, your disciples don't wash their hands. We wash our hands all the time, right? Washing your hands is good, guys. Washing your hands is good. But they were so adamant about focusing on the washing of hands, yet their hearts were full of filth. They did religious things on a daily but had forgotten the reason behind their actions. Jesus summarizes their heart's condition as this in Mark 7:8. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human tradition. How much human tradition do we hold on to instead of actually wanting a relationship with God? How much human tradition do we say, hey, we checked all the boxes, guys, but yet we are so far away from God in our hearts? It's, you know, we think it's something earned. They thought they were meriting it, that they deserved it, rather than recognizing that only through the grace of God that we have really been gifted forgiveness and washing of sins, you guys. Like, we don't merit it. There's nothing we can do. Like, I'm so glad you came looking so good to church today. Like, you look on point, right? But still, even though you put it all together, if you don't give it all to God, then you're just out of place. Jesus is grace personified. Jesus is grace personified. We need Jesus. So many people try to take Jesus out of the equation, but we need Jesus because Jesus is that grace. And it's important to understand that grace is not just a principle, which is very important, right? The principles of God never change, but he's a person. Jesus, the Word of God, was made flesh and walked amongst us. And when we receive Jesus, we don't just receive him as our Savior, we receive him as the Lord. And he works, he does the inside job, right? As soon as we receive Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And what is that Holy Spirit doing? An inner work, an inner healing, an inner reviving. He rolls up his sleeves, right? And he gets into every crevice and every corner of our lives because it is that inside job. Say it with me, it's an inside job. We can't forget that. Because if we're honest, we're really good at playing the part. Some actually experts at filters, right? I'm so bad at it, but it's like we need to edit the picture, filter the picture, do everything to the picture, to the reel, to the post, to sum up all the best parts, to highlight all the best parts of our trip, right, you guys? But we don't ever put, like, on our Italy trip, right? We don't put the parts where we're like, I was like almost broke down in tears. Where was it? In Pompeii. Never go to Pompeii. Sorry, Pompeii. Literally, because I didn't see one dead body, okay? I was after dead bodies in Pompeii, didn't get to see a dead body in Pompeii. So I was there by myself. My husband was sick. It was so hot, right? The girls were running around. They got to see dead bodies, and they weren't even following the map. I was following the map, you guys. Didn't get to see one dead body. Why do I say that? Because that's not shown in the recap video of my trip, right? We only show the edited parts. We only show the good parts. But God is not interested in your edited version of your life. God is not interested in you having to filter your life. He's like, girl, take off all the filters. Take off those eyelashes. Take off the faja. You know, guys, you don't have to pretend here. You don't have to think you got it all together. No, you can come just as you are. And he has our back. Can you give all the glory to God? Come on, you guys. Something really important for you to know is that grace works in us before it can work through us. Grace works from the inside out while religion works from the outside in. See, religion starts with behavior and then you go to believing. So they're saying, hey, change this, take out this vocabulary, learn these verses, dress like this, come to church, and you're like, okay, check, check, I got it. But no, grace says, start with belonging. Just come. Just come. Jesus always, you know, gave out the invitation. He didn't give out the invitation to those that were prepared. He didn't give out the invitation. He extended the invitation to those that were perfect. No, he just said, hey, leave that and follow me. And all of those that said yes and followed, then he did life with. Then he worked through. See, grace starts with belonging, and then you go on to believing. You and I belonged way before we could even choose God. God had already chosen us. So in Ephesians 1, 4 to 6, in the Message version, I love this version, it says this. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved son. God is after your heart. God has always been after your heart. His focus is your heart, and he wants to win you over. In many ways, we face the same temptations, you guys, as those hypocritical Pharisees. Sometimes it's so easy to maintain the outward appearance. Come on, you guys. How many of us, isn't it so easy to maintain that outward appearance, yet inside we are wanting to break? We can't anymore with a certain sin, or we're just struggling. There's real struggle inside. You know, sometimes it's so easy to maintain what? The basic rules. Again, dressing the part, playing the part, yet we lack any real relationship with God. Something else comes along, and there we go. A girlfriend comes along, and there we go. We just drop God like he was yesterday's news. Right? We move on to the next best thing. Why? Because God was only something on your pretend list instead of the only thing on your list. Because rules, regulations, rituals, and traditions by themselves, they do not please God, church. They do not. And I'm sorry to tell you this. If you thought you were getting into heaven by just checking off the boxes, that's not it. You need grace, and that's Jesus Christ. See, not how long you pray, not how early you get up to pray, not how much you give, how much you serve, how holy, holy you dress, but rather the why. Why do you do these things? Why do you dress modestly? Do you dress modestly because you're so busy criticizing all those that don't? Right? Do you know the word of God just to use it to cut everybody else and just keep them in their place? You know, do you come to church just to show everyone else? Or do you really love God, genuinely fear God, want to be loyal to God, want to seek him first before anything else? Can I get an amen? Amen. He is our why. Church, he is our why. There is no other why but God. And it just reminds me of Mary. When Martha and Mary were in the house, and Martha was, you know, a busy bee. I so want to be Mary, but I am so Martha. I am so Martha in this story. Like, I would be doing all the other things. I would be checking the schedule. I'd be like, it's so hot. I'm hormonal. Bring the air down. Like, I'd be so busy doing so many other things. And I'd look at Mary and be like, girl, what are you doing there? Like, get to work. Here we all are, you know, doing our very best. And there you are just sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, just sitting there. But actually, Jesus says Mary chose the best part. She chose the best part. Because even if it was for those minutes, it was complete focus on him. It was not worrying about everything else, if it's going to turn out okay or if it's not. It's coming in this moment and just saying, God, no matter what happens, like, I'm going to give you these next 20 minutes, these next 15 minutes. I'm just going to, just speak to me. I want to know you more. I want to know you more, because when I know you more, then I am a better person. Can someone say amen to that? All we do, all we need to do is go to the fruit of that root. What is that, the fruit of that root? Mark 12:30 says, all your heart, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That needs to give that fruit, to love God with that. For he desires, the word of God says, mercy, not sacrifice. He actually wants us to be merciful and loving and genuine instead of sacrificing before him. Like the Pharisees and the ancient Israelites, right? We're not going to fake it. No, we're not going to fake it until I make it. We're going to be real. We're going to say, you already did it for me, Lord. Can I get an amen? So how do we do this? Number one, you're like, how is this a finance? This is going to finances. Number one, admit that I'm the problem. How we say, am I the drama? Literally, right? Do you ever have that person? If you're asking, you are. If you're asking the question, you are the drama, okay? So admit I'm the problem. Say, I'm the problem. Come on, you guys. Admit it. I'm the problem. We have to start giving you double shot espresso in the morning, right? I'm the problem. If you analyze your life, you will find that the common denominator of most of all of your problems is you. Is you. So obviously, I'm the problem. You're the problem. You're involved in each one of those things. In each one of your, you know, problems, you're a common denominator. You're present. And if you don't think so, that's a problem, right? And you're like, no, not me, right? Not me. Isaiah 29:13 says this. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Our service can't be lip service. Come on, you guys. It says their worship is of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Our service can't just be lip service. He knows the difference, guys. Here to tell you, wake up. He knows the difference. He knows when you give just to be applauded. He knows when you forgive just because someone else is watching. He knows when you do, right, just to be seen. He knows all the intentions behind the what we do. He knows the why. God is not looking for outward appearances, but rather looks beyond the actions to the intentions. Who sings and who actually worships? Who memorizes word and who lives out the word on their daily life? Who feels guilty? Who feels guilty and cries and says, I'll never do it again? That's guilt. But who actually feels repentance? That cries and says, I'll never do it again, and then stands up and turns around and changes their ways. That is repentance. That is genuine repentance. Guilt, anybody can feel. So are you feeling guilty? Are those tears because you got caught? Are those tears because you just, or are you really repented before God and says, Lord, transform me, change me? Come on, you guys, can I get an amen? Come on, give God the glory. So number one, admit that you're the problem. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the problem. Say, yeah, me too. But number two, God is the answer. Come on, you guys, I'm giving you the answer to the SAT before you even take it. But God is the answer. Psalm 73, 25 to 26 says, whom have I in heaven but you? This is the question. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail. Isn't this so true? Isn't this, remember this verse, guys. My flesh and my heart may fail because they do. The heart fails. The flesh fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Is this not just a love verse for God? I said it last week, and I'll say it again in case, you know, the devil has lied to you in such a way. God does not want your money. He wants your heart. And that's why we felt it so important that this year in the series, when our pastor, my husband, said we're gonna be calling it this, I was like, brilliant. I love it. Because it is a heart issue. It's not a money issue. If you were engaged up until this point that I mentioned money, and some of you guys just checked off, to your neighbor and say, wake up, wake up. If you just checked off, if you just fell asleep, then money has you. Because you were amen, you were saying amen to everything and you're receiving the word of God. And it's up to the point where I said money, a lot of you guys shut off. I could feel it spiritually. I'm not making this stuff up. Money has you. Money is not the problem, but the love of money is. We shouldn't serve money. Money should serve us. Money is not our Lord. God is our Lord. Money promises everything, but only God can actually do good on those promises. Money promises you significance. Come on, you guys. You have money and you're like, oof, I can do that. It promises you significance. It promises you power. It promises you safety. Don't worry, if a crisis comes, you'll be safe. You got 6 months of savings. You'll be okay, right? It promises you safety, honor, happiness, and joy. Money promises, but only God can deliver. Can I get an amen? We should not seek money first, but rather the word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, right? So we shouldn't go after the cars and the homes and the riches. More money is not the answer. God is the answer. Come on, church, give God all the glory. God is God. God is good, and money is not God. And I'm sure no one wakes up one day and says, I'm going to serve money. I'm sure of it. There wasn't one of us that said, I'm going to sell my soul to Satan just for money. Well, some people, right? Hopefully not in this room. I'm going to serve money. God, please get off of that throne. I'm going to put money on there. I'm done with God as God. Been there, done now. That now I'm moving on. No, I don't think it's like that. I actually think it's more subtle. It's little by little. See, we don't realize that we're serving money, but we start to steer our focus to money for what it can provide us. See, it's not something that we chase after, but because we go, you know, we're growing, and as you grow older, you're like, oh man, I need more of it. Because I have responsibilities. How many can say, yep, I'm in that stage now. Where now you're knowing how much toilet paper costs. Anybody there yet? They're like, what the heck, milk, eggs? Eggs? And you're like, what happened with the eggs, right? If you're finding out what's happening with the eggs, you're at that point. So what happens? Now you're like going into grown-up stage, okay? If you realize how much eggs have gone up. So now you're out there, and little by little you're like, oh, wow, wait a minute. Oh, you're putting gas in your car, and you see the dollars just going and going, and you're like, oh my God. So little by little, money starts creeping up. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, let me push God over. Let me either worry them or give them so much that they're in awe of me. So it keeps us, and it entangles us. Needing more, wanting more, working hard to get ahead. We worry about it when we feel we don't have enough. We focus on it when we want more. We are proud that we have so much. We are afraid we will lose it. What we have, we allow it to tell us what we can and what we can't do. It's not intentional, but it happens. Money starts to lead us. We must take money off the throne and put God back on that throne. We got to say, God, be the Lord over my life. But when I give you, when I say to you, Lord over my life, say, I will serve you. I will do what you want. I will believe what you say is as truth. But I'm not going to make an exception when it comes to money. I'm going to give you everything. Can I get an amen? Come on, you guys. Can I get an amen? Everything belongs to God. Can I get an amen? Because God is God and God is first. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Okay, so question, why don't you tithe? Go there, go there. Go there. Y'all, amen, hallelujah. Some of you guys were going to start jumping up and down, and then I say, why don't you tithe then? So you say God is first. You say that his word is true. You say that you believe in him. You say that you want him to go into every single crevice of your life. You say amen to you want him to be your savior, but you want him to be your Lord. So the question to you this morning, Mr. and Mrs., son and daughter of God, is why don't you tithe? Malachi 3:10 to 12 says this, bring the whole tithe. Tithe. Tithe means a tenth. Say a tenth. Tenth. A tithe into the storehouse that there will be food in my house. The house is Grace City Church for you. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I, referring to God, will prevent pests. Not only will he fill you, but he will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines of your fields and will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Number one, admit that I'm the problem. Number two was God is the answer. Number three is that tithing is a test. Malachi says it. Tithing is a test. Say, it's a test. Tithing is a 10%. 10 in the Bible is a test. 10 plagues in order for Moses to be able to leave Egypt. 10 tests. How many virgins were there that had to pass the test? 10. Okay. Another 10 was a lot of 10s everywhere. Oh, yeah. How many commandments? 10. 10 commandments. How many disciples? Good. Good job. Good job. So tithing is a tenth, and it's a test. Say, it's a test. Payday is a heart test. It's heart test day. Testing if you trust God. Testing is if your faith is in God. Testing if you actually serve God or serve money. Believe God is your provider or believe that money is your provider. The only area in our life that we, I'll skip this. Let me give you this example that my husband, come here, babe, help me with this. So he had this idea, and I was like, I need the 9:30 a.m. to also get the treat, so I need you guys to do this, okay? We have a treat for you after, if you guys do this good. So here we have 10 apples. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 total. Why is this one different, babe?
Well, I wanted to make a point that when God gives us our salary, because we get it, and once again, payday is test day.
Test day.
Say it with me, payday.
Payday.
Say test day. Test day. So this is not something that happens once in a while, or maybe I'll do it this week, but not the following week. How many of you guys get paid monthly, once a month? Raise your hand if you get paid once a month. One person. Okay. How many of you guys get a payday or paycheck every 2 weeks? Most of us. And then how many of you guys still get paid every week? Nice, nice. Very nice.
Some people get paid every day.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
When they have their own company.
So payday is test day. So the question is, are you going to pass the test?
Yeah.
Because basically when you get your check, when you have your salary, then
What's the test, babe?
100% of your check. Your payday, your payment, whatever it is that your salary is. But what God is asking us is that we should put apart the 10%. So that's why I got a green apple. Because you can eat all these apples except this one. And then also it's very important to mention that it's not any of the apples.
It can't be this apple.
If you really want to be blessed, if you really want to prosper, you need to get this in your system.
Yes.
Because if you were to get this one here and say, okay, I'm going to pay my rent, my mortgage. I'm going to fuel gas. I'm going to pay
electricity,
energy. I'm going to pay
phone,
whatever.
Clothes.
Whatever.
Sephora.
I wouldn't spend any money on Sephora.
Groceries.
Yes.
Starbucks. Those are all a line of their own.
Okay, so we have this is the problem. We have people that actually tithe, but they do it in the wrong order.
Yes.
And that's why you're not getting the total blessing. So if you start doing all the different things first, and then you said, okay, now I have the 10% for God, is not the same as if you were to put it first and say, I'm going to do God first. And then
the focus,
rest.
Right? It's the focus of the heart.
Correct. Yeah. So if you start doing the tithe first, and then you do the rest of the things, and many, this is where it's a test day. Because many of you guys will think, well, what if I don't have enough money to pay my mortgage or my rent? What if I don't have enough money to pay my tuition? What if I don't have enough money to whatever it is? If you have that doubt, then you'll never be prosper. You never prosper.
Yep.
But when you put God first, everything Amen. Comes in place. Everything will come in place. So I want to make a point of reference with this, because I don't want you to forget about it. I need you to get this, because it's test day. So when you get paid once a month, that's your test day. When you get paid every 2 weeks, like I get paid every 2 weeks, so every 2 weeks I have a test day. And I want to pass that test. I don't want to fail that test. I don't want him to close the windows of heaven, but I actually want to open the windows of heaven. And then this is the only way.
That's my last point. So this apple, okay, God can do more in your life with this 10% in his hands. Mm-hmm. God can do more in your life with this 10% in his hands than you could do with 100% in yours. Just understand that. Yeah. Yes, come on, you guys. God can do more in your life just with this 10% in his hands. Here you go. The first thing. I do this, and I want to say, use the word, but in the right way, religiously. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no gray area about it. A check comes in, a check is written. That's just how it is. It's a privilege for me. When I give, I don't get scared in the amount I give. I just know I'm blessed even more. If it's scaring me, I'm like, thank you, God. You know, I'm like, yes, bring on the days I'm tithing $10,000. I mean, can you imagine? Right, you guys? So that's not scary. That's beautiful, because that means that you're making $100,000. So 10% in God's hands is better than 100% in ours. And this is point number four. And point number four is that this test is not just a test for us. But point number four is that actually he encourages us to test him at his promise. This is the only time where he says, test me. Mm-hmm. Test me and see that I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out to you in abundance. You won't have enough room to store it. And this is such an important principle, because we want all of the other blessings, yet we don't focus on God. We need to bring our focus back to God. I love the example you use, babe, when you're like, when someone gives you a coupon, they're like, here's 10% off. And you're like, ah. Like, hey, did you bring your coupon? No, it's only 10%. But then we're like, hey, tithing is 10%. You're like, what? That's so much, right? It's because of how you focus on it.
But even if you see it visually,
yeah,
it's almost nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem giving an apple if I'm keeping 9.
Yeah.
Hello?
Come on.
I would never have a problem giving 1 apple if I'm keeping 9.
Yeah.
So why we have this issue? Because this is spiritual. Yeah. This is personal. So you will need to fight this battle and pass the test.
Come on.
Pass the test. It's not once in a while. It's not whenever I have extra. No, 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 no. It's every time I get paid.
So today's test day.
Test day.
Right now is test day.
That's right.
Should we give him a treat before?
Let me tell you this. Okay. Let me close with this story that I was going to have for my message, but since the best people come to the 9:30, I'm going to give it on the 9:30. Woo! Here we go. One day I decided to go away for 6 months. And then I told Jesus, come. And then I told D.A. Ocho, come, D.A. Ocho. And then I tell David, come. Line up right here, please. I'm going to leave for 6 months. I'm going to go away for 6 months. I'm going to go work and preach somewhere else for 6 months. But you know that I love my wife. So I'm not only her husband, but I'm actually her spiritual and financial support.
Amen to that.
If she wants to work, she can work. And if she doesn't want to work, she doesn't need to work.
Amen to that.
I'm the one responsible, because I'm the head of the house. I want to be a priest and a king. So I decided to go 6 months away because I needed to go work for something, special project. But I want to make sure that Myra is taken care of. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to not only give her money, and I'm going to make sure that in my bank account, in our bank account, there's enough money for her to pay and pay the mortgage, pay whatever. She wants to go to crepe station and get a really nice crepe or whatever. She can go.
Delicious.
But then I took these three guys that I trust, and I told them, David, I'm going to be giving you $10,000 a month. Dia, I'm going to give you $10,000 a month. Jesus, I'm going to give you $10,000 a month. And all I want you to do is I want you to take $1,000 from the $10,000 that I'm giving you, and every month you're going to give it to my wife. That way she'll be taken care of. And she'll see it as an extra bonus. She'll see it as a, wow, we're spending money. $3,000. So once again, I trust these guys. I'm going to give them $10,000 a month. And all they have to do is give $1,000 from the $10,000. So they get to keep $9,000. Is that a good deal? Is that a good deal? Can you do that for me? Easy. Easy to do. But I go away, and as I'm depositing every month the $10,000 into each account, 3 or 4 months go past, and I call my wife. Baby, how you doing? It's only 2 more months till I come back. You know, Cancun is beautiful, but I need to come back. She'll be, trust me, this is a story, because if it was real, she will kill me. And I will never go to Cancun by myself.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. Amen.
Amen about not going, or amen about killing me?
Not going by yourself and killing you if you do. Amen and amen.
4 months into the deal, I call my wife and says, hey, babe, how you doing? Oh, great, great, great. How you doing financially? No, I'm doing great. Oh, by the way, did you notice that I left 3 guys that are going to be taking care of you, and they're supposed to give you $1,000 a month? So give me a report. How's David doing? He says, oh, no, David is giving $1,000 every month. Has been 4 months, and every month
he has made
the $1,000. Awesome. Tell me about DJ. He says, well. Hey, don't rub my story. You know what, babe? He's not giving $1,000. He's actually been giving me $2,000 every month. I'm like, wow. So he's keeping only 8. He's giving out 2. Even when I only ask him to give him 1,000, he's giving 2,000. And I'm thinking, well, he's so grateful that he says, I wasn't expecting those $8,000. So for me to give 2,000 is nothing. But then I go to Jesus and said, hey, and how's Jesus doing?
And again, you gave him money?
And again, you already want to create your own story. But then Myra says, well, the first month he gave me 1,000. But the second month, he only gave me $700. Mm-hmm. The third month, he only gave me $400. And now it being the fourth month, he hasn't given me anything. Then I come back after 6 months, and I'm going to make accounts with these guys to see what they did. Did they accomplish what I asked them to do, even when they didn't have to do anything because I was giving them the $10,000 every month? So, of course, you know the story now. I will give more to has been faithful. And obviously, I will never trust him with anything that I have.
Him.
Do you get the point? So
this is
local. This is something that it's earthly. I'm giving $10,000. All I'm asking is to give $1,000. And Jesus didn't accomplish that.
Yeah.
Why? And then I feel offended in a way. And I feel robbed.
Yeah.
Because I told him, you can keep $9,000. All you have to give is give back the $1,000. And yeah. I was so interested and so invested because we're talking about my wife. We're not talking about somebody, whatever. It's my wife.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing when you're not treating the church, which is the bride,
of
when
Christ.
You still and rob the tithes and offerings.
Come on.
He's to come back, and he's going to ask you. He's going to make accounts with you and says, hey, I was giving you this,
baby.
And all I ask you to do is give back the green apple.
Yeah.
Don't eat the green apple.
Yeah.
You have 9 to eat if you want to.
Yeah.
And then for some of us that have learned on how to trust God and learn about prosperity, we're not giving 1. We probably give 3. Because we still, with the 7, we do more than with the 10.
Yeah.
Now, that might be too much for you, but start with the 1.
Yeah.
With the 1 for God. It's test day.
And on test day, babe, the verse actually asks, return to me, and I will return to you. Like, this is first a promise, right? Return to me. Thank you, guys. Return to me. So he's asking us to return to this focus. Return to me. Start focusing again on me. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask. Then you ask, how are we to return? Like, God, how am I supposed to return to you? Here I am. I'm right here. Will a mere mortal rob God? And then it says, yes, you robbed me. But it's not so much we're robbing money, you guys. This is the point. When we say you rob God, I think we haven't extended we haven't taught this information. It's not that we're robbing money from God. We're robbing God of the ability to bless us supernaturally. Okay, there's a difference. If I say to Isabella, if you do this for me on a weekly, this extra thing, I will give you, if you read this book, I will give you $100. If she reads the book, I give her $100. If she doesn't, she has robbed me of the opportunity to bless her because she didn't obey. See, she didn't rob my money per se, because everything's mine anyway, you guys. If she kept it or she didn't keep it. See what I'm saying? We're not actually robbing money. What we're doing is we're robbing. God's like, man, I promised you, if you would just focus and you would just give me that tenth, if you would just say, I trust you, Lord. And a lot of us trust him for just like a special offering. No, trust him weekly. Trust him every 2 weeks. I believe that there can be a Hispanic church and a multinational church, you know, where we have all types of ethnicities come together, when we're not just extending our hand for a handout, where we're actually building the kingdom of God together, where we are building the kingdom of God in Las Vegas, church. Come on, you guys. Where we are faithful tithers, where we don't have to say, oh, yeah, they do that because, you know, they have these type of people tithing in their church. Did you know studies have shown that only an 18 to a 20% of people in church tithe? That means not even 2 out of every 10 of you guys are tithing. Not even 2. Like 1 and half a body or a third of a body, missing the head. You got the heart, but you're missing the head. So return to me and I will return to you. This is your opportunity. Take out your envelopes right there, right here, right now. Come on, you guys. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to break generational curses. If you think that what we have is because of us, you're kidding yourself. The life I have is because of the parents that I've had. My grandmother has believed in tithing. My parents believe in tithing. We believe in tithing. My daughters believe in tithing. And my grandchildren will be tithing, because we are a tithing family. When you see someone and it says, you will know them by their fruit. If they give good fruit, you say, what's your secret? I can't give you my diet secrets, because as you know, I'm not a good example of that. But I can give you my prosperity secret, and my secret is that I trust God wholeheartedly. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, 8 years old, 18, 28, 88. Whatever you have, you can do it on a weekly. Some of you guys have to tithe. Maybe even you're believing for that job, you know, and you're going to tithe. But don't ever, ever give. Don't you ever give with a bad heart. Because at the end, God is not after your money. God is after our heart. It's an inside job. It's an inside job. Did we get all the buckets go around yet? Okay, I think we're getting our buckets. As we pass out these buckets, I want a second bucket to go out. Are we ready? And this is a treat for you guys. I want you guys to remember this apple thing. It was actually my husband's doing. And they're his favorite little apple lollipops, caramel and apple lollipops. And it's so you guys can remember the apple example. It's just that one green apple. Just that one juice. But it just seems like that one green apple is just that much more scrumptious, huh? It's so juicy. It's so good. You're like, man. Yep, that one. That first one. That very first one. The first thought when your check comes in. The first thought when you're working. Lord, I do it for your glory. Lord, I give it for your kingdom. Lord, use it to expand your kingdom. God, I'm only an instrument. I'm only a manager. You are the owner of all of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the blessing of life. Thank you for the prosperity, for opening up the windows of heaven, and for pouring out your blessings over us, over my daughters, over our home, over this church. Lord, I ask that no one would be offended by your word, that they would take it as truth, that they would grow with this word, that their perspective would change, that they would not modify behavior, that they would not fill out an envelope because of, for the pastors to see, but they would do it. They would pass the test with flying colors. They would say, Lord, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, right? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. And I believe in you. I know my heart will follow where my money is, there where my treasure is. And my treasure's in your home. Your treasure's in your house. I give it to you, God. I bless it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's give God the glory.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.